I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Off the Beaten Track podcast. I'm your host, Stu Whiffin. I hope you're all doing well today. Another week, another episode. And this is a good one. Well, they're all good, right? But today's guest is Mr. James Buckley. So it's probably a little bit different from some of the other ones because I reckon for about 4 or 5 years, I probably spent more time with James than I did my family. We'll go into this in the duration of the chat, but we've been friends for, I reckon, maybe 7, 8 years. And when we recorded this was actually the first time we'd seen each other for probably close to 2 years. And to give you a bit of backstory as to how this episode happened, well, he turned up at mine and literally we said hello. He said hello to my wife and children, and then we went straight into the studio and press record. So we really hadn't sort of caught up at all. So this episode is exactly the same formula as the others. We talk about music and we talk about his life, but we also reminisce about some funny stories that we got up to whilst we spent 3 to 4 years on the road doing DJ tours. He's a lovely guy, and as soon as I started doing this podcast, I was absolutely adamant that I would get James on at some point. He spends a lot of his time living in LA, and he did kindly invite me out there to record this, but I thought it would probably be cheaper and easier to wait until he's back in Essex and he can drive 15 minutes down the road and just come to mine. So that's what happened, and it was a lot of fun. And I think you guys are going to really enjoy this episode. So before we get on with the episode, just a quick shout out to the Distraction Pieces Network. Lots of good stuff over there, including James talking to Scroobius Pip on his Distraction Pieces episode. Pip did fly to LA for that one. So give that a listen. Big love to Mr. 76, the producer of this. And my name is Ad for doing all the artwork. I think that's it. Also, if this is your first episode that you've listened to of Off the Beaten Track, then please have a little look in the back catalogue, because there's plenty of other episodes available with the likes of, wow, Scroobius Pip, Block Party, Ian Lee, Dom Jolly, loads of people. So go and get stuck into the back catalogue. The easiest thing to do is to subscribe. And if you see us, we're on all the social medias, so just go on there and like, love, share. And if you are an existing and long-time listener and you want even more Off the Beaten Track stuff, then we have a Patreon page, so you can support that and get bonus episodes each week as well. You can find out about all of this on www.offthebeatentrackpodcast.com. That's me done. Let's get on with the episode. Please enjoy it. Off the Beaten Track podcast with Mr. James Buckley. I've got an announcement. Save Our Souls Clothing. www.sosclothing.co.uk. Why am I telling you this? Because they're our official sponsor. Yeah, that's right. Go and check them out because their clothing is off the scale. You're going to love it. So they've decided they want to be our sponsor, which is amazing. And what I have to do is I have to tell you about why they're amazing. So here's a little bit of blurb. So they've only been going a year. And they're based in Southend-on-Sea, just up the road from me. They put the company together based on a love of tattoos and alternative music. And they've worked with some of the greatest artists around the world to produce these items of clothing that are as unique as you lot. All the designs are printed using biodegradable, sustainable and water-based inks. In addition to that, they only print on garments made by members of Fair Wear Foundation. I mean, come on, great clothing and a conscience. Since going live in April last year, they've seen their audience grow massively and are now selling orders all across the world. And they were recognised by Cosmopolitan magazine as one of the best sustainable clothing brands alongside names such as Stella McCartney. I mean, that's quite a first year, right? So go and check them out because they've put a lot of love into supporting this podcast and I couldn't be happier. What else they've done is they've given you 15% off. So if you head over to www.sosclothing.co.uk, do a bit of shopping, see what you like, throw it in the basket, and then on the way out, put in the discount code BEAT15, BEAT15, and that'll save you 15% off. Amazing, right? www.sosclothing.co.uk, official sponsors of Off The Beaten Track podcast. Let's get back to that podcast. It's Off The Beaten Track podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network. With me, Stu Whiffin. Right, we're recording. We are in the Whiffin. It's nice to be back here. Seem to have been recording all the ones of late up in Hipsterville. So it's nice to be back in a really overcast and miserable afternoon in Grays. A ray of sunshine has just walked into the Whiffin. It's James Buckley.
Hello.
Hello. It's going to be quite weird because we haven't seen each other for, what, 2 years?
Yeah, something like that. It honestly feels like 5 minutes for me.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do I look any different?
No.
No?
No.
That's kind of, yeah.
You look better, if anything.
Really?
Yeah, I reckon so.
Thanks, mate. Thanks. So
I'm just being nice.
I know you are. I know. So, yeah, I don't want this to be kind of super interview because this literally is. We're going out for a curry after this with a couple of other people. And I'm sure we'll catch up more then. But, I don't want this to be too interview-based because you're my mate and I'm catching up with you,
so
it's quite nice.
Well, maybe we should keep it interview-based because it might just turn into two old mates talking.
All right. We'll do that. Okay, so let's just start with the tracks because I did send you the list and you went, yeah, this needs some thought. I'm going to think about it in bed tonight. And
I fell asleep, funny enough.
Yeah, I thought that might be the case. So this is the first time I've ever done one of these and not known what songs the guest has chosen.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So normally they're...
Honestly, the first time?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm the first person to come unprepared.
Yeah. That don't make you groundbreaking.
No, I'm not saying I'm groundbreaking. I just find it really difficult to believe.
Yeah. Okay. Track one, James.
Yeah.
The song with the greatest intro.
Yeah. There's a few.
You can have some honourable mentions. That's cool.
Well, money for nothing.
Do you know what?
It's a good intro.
What, the whole intro?
Yeah.
Right. That bit, yeah?
Yeah. And then it kicks in.
Yeah. Do you know what? I heard that on the radio yesterday.
It's a banger. I don't care what you say. I know Dire Straits aren't cool, whatever, but I'm a sucker for an amazing guitarist.
Yeah.
Mark Knopfler is brilliant. And that riff is amazing.
It's a rock classic, yeah?
Yeah.
But I'm obviously well old, so I remember when that album came out, that was like, I think it was like up there with Thriller for like the biggest selling thing. And I just remember thinking, even though I reckon Knopfler was probably about 10 years younger than what I am now, still thinking he looked like one of like, if I had like a quirky, like if my dad had a quirky mate, because he had like kind of receding kind of Gene Wilder-esque hair.
Yeah, but he hid it very well.
With a kind of headband.
With a headband. With a McEnroe tennis sweatband.
Oh, brilliant. Cheers, mate.
Nice one.
Is that your choice?
No.
Right, okay.
I'm going to go with... why am I going to go with?
The Riverboat song.
Right.
I forgot what it was called.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Riverboat song.
By Ocean Colour Scene, yeah?
Yeah.
That's a pretty decent intro.
It's a really good intro, especially live. I'm thinking more live, because I've got to see Ocean Colour Scene a few times over the years.
Have you got to play guitar with Ocean Colour Scene on stage as well?
Yeah, I'm always crowbarring my way in. Turned up with my own guitar once.
Did you have a conversation with yourself en route thinking, am I taking a piss here?
No.
How does it work? Because I don't know how these things work.
Well, because I'm mates with Steve Craddock.
Yeah.
And I was just telling him that I'd bought a new guitar.
Right.
He said, and he was like, oh, you've got to bring it along. I want to see it. Da, da, da. And I've done that a couple of times now.
Yeah. Do you go out and buy a new guitar just so you can play it on stage watching Colour Scene?
I do. Every now and then I do practice along, you know, with an Ocean Colour Scene track just in case I'm called off the bench.
Yeah.
So I'm match ready. Genuinely.
Is it Steve's son that comes and plays with him now on stage sometimes?
Yeah, Cass has been playing. I know he's been playing with Steve when he's been going out solo. I think he's been doing it with Ocean Colour Scene as well.
So, right, isn't it?
Yeah, he's a really good little footballer as well.
Really? And a good guitarist.
Yeah.
And his dad's Steve Craddock.
That's it.
He's not going to struggle to get a girlfriend, is he?
He'll be all right, yeah.
So we're going with that. That's your actual one.
Yeah, when they play that live, it kicks off.
Yeah.
And it's a great intro. You know exactly what song's going to come up.
Yeah. I mean, you are quite pally with them because they played your wedding, didn't they?
Yeah.
So that was quite cool, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was it, yeah.
All right, getting...
Mental,
Yeah, it was actually the first... No, I'd seen them. I'd seen Ocean Colour Scene play The Toothbrush with the first album, like kind of the pre sort of like...
It's quite sort of Stone Roses.
Yeah, album. Yeah, it was more baggy than the kind of mod thing. And then, obviously, the second album, they got a bit sharper with the stylings and stuff.
I think it's called Sway, one of the songs off that album.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Mm,
it's I think it's a really good song.
Yeah, that was a single as well.
Yeah, I remember I asked Steve, if they ever play that? Do you ever play that anymore? And this was a few years ago. He said, "Yeah, we did once."
Oh, really?
It went down like a lead balloon, so they don't bother anymore.
Well, at least that's one you ain't got to practice.
I'm
just
freezing.
In case. I've turned the thing on. The heating is on. Hang on, let me move it a bit closer. It's not that close. That might help. It is really cold today. All right, so let's move on to track two.
Yep.
And it's the first song that you remember hearing that had an emotional impact on you.
I think it's an honourable mention. It's probably Candle in the Wind, 1997.
Yep. Right.
but I think first song that proper... And it still gets to me. And it's the right time of year to bring this up. It's
okay.
Fairy Tale of New York.
Okay.
And I know that that it's controversial nowadays, the lyrics in it, because he says faggot.
Yep.
You know, you can't judge a society on the time.
Absolutely.
But I genuinely think there's the lyrics... You took my dreams from me when I first found you. I kept them with me, babe. I put them with my own. Can't make it all alone. I built my dreams around you. And that chokes me up just saying that.
Yeah.
I think that's incredible.
I...
Do you remember when you met him?
Yes, I do. Mate, you're actually shivering.
I am, I'm welcome.
So, should we talk about that?
Yeah.
So, me and you went to... you went to the NME Awards.
Yeah.
And you took me along with you.
Yeah.
And... A few interesting things happened that evening. So when we arrived, I'd never been on a red carpet or anything like that before, and it was at Brixton Academy, right?
Yeah.
And so we...
We had the foresight to stop off at the pub beforehand. We had a few in there before we went.
Yeah, I think, we might have got the flavour, to be honest. And when we arrived on the red carpet... Obviously, I was thinking, this is quite weird. We was met by Nick Grimshaw. Can you remember this? And he come out, And he went, "Hello, James, how are you?" And he was like, "I'm well, thank you." And he went, "Who's this?" And you went, "That's my boyfriend."
Oh, yeah.
And I just thought, for fuck's sake, this is my one moment on a red carpet, and I'm now looking like his noncy fucking older boyfriend.
Yeah, it was good.
But I remember when we then got into the bit where you had to sort of walk along all the press and sort of do all the why you're here tonight and what you was up for and stuff like that. And I was just sort of loitering around in the background and was sort of constantly sort of nudging you, going, "It's Courtney Love." And you was going, "Yeah, yeah, be cool." And I was like, right, yeah. And I was like, "It's Slash."
Yeah.
It's and like,
cool people there,
aren't yeah, it was unbelievable. And all I remember is having a really good time. You won the award for whatever it was to do with in between us,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, not me personally. I was just,
yeah.
I was sent to receive it.
Yeah, you took the glory.
Best TV
yeah.
Show,
yeah. Yeah, and then you was backstage doing press stuff, and then when you come back, I didn't even really know my own name, did I?
Yeah.
And I was being looked after by Shane McGowan.
Yeah.
Who was telling me it'd be all right.
Well, there's a picture of you somewhere, isn't there?
Yeah, yeah.
Of you and Shane McGowan.
Yeah.
And I remember you saying to me, "You've got to be in a state if you looked more fucked up than Shane McGowan."
Oh dear, emotional journey home, got all angry with you, then yeah. I burst into tears.
Well, there was a reason for that though, wasn't there?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd definitely been spiked with something.
Exactly, yeah.
I didn't know what was going on, I was in a bad way.
Because you were ill for the next sort of couple of weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
It was really put out of commission. So you were going mental on something that somebody had slipped in your drink. And
yeah.
I remember shepherding you. I had to sort of sober up.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh no, something's wrong with Steve. I'd been pissed with you so many times. I was like, what? This? And I was like, I'm sure I've matched him drink for drink. And
yeah.
But we managed to get a car home. And then in the car, you went to me, oh Buckley. Oh, you're a good egg, Buckley.
What?
And I just chuckled and went, oh, thanks, mate. Don't fucking laugh at me, Buckley. I was like, oh, no.
Oh, dear.
And then that was it. You had to go to the doctors the next day.
Yeah, well,
like,
good.
They were like, yeah, someone's done something to you. Yeah.
So I want to touch on Elton John
it was
quickly.
Definitely Keith Lemon. He was at the table.
He was. So, I take it Elton John's an honourable mention.
Yeah.
Do you want me to pause this and get a coat?
No, it's all right. Carry
sure.
On.
Yeah. You're literally shivering.
Yeah, I just need to shiver a bit. And
right, okay.
Warm
do you want
up.
A whiskey or something?
No, I'll be all right.
So, I want to talk about Elton John because whenever I hear Elton John, I think of you.
Yeah.
Well,
I like Elton John.
Yeah, I know you do. And what a lot of people, I'm not going to ask you to do any impressions, but you're quite good at doing impressions. And for listeners that don't know, a big part of me and you hanging out was driving up and down the country for you to do your DJing sets.
Yeah. We destroyed the Picasso, pretty much.
Yes.
We put some miles in that
we
car.
Did. We ruined the Picasso. And I'll tell you what, we're going to get back to the Picasso at Christmas before we finish, because I've got a story about that, which is one of the best nights in Kent I've ever had. So, I can't hear Sacrifice by Elton John without thinking of you doing an impression of it, because you would control the music, because I'd be driving and you'd put Elton John on and it'd be like Rocket Man, and then I've done put and you'd always insist on putting Sacrifice on and doing that
I done by you.
And the only other song that really reminds me of them journeys in the car together are your opening vocal to Simple Minds, Don't You Forget About Me. You used to know that one.
Yeah. And then obviously I would hum the theme to Top Gun whenever we had to get on a plane. Highway to the Danger Zone.
And we got told off for mucking about doing that as well, didn't we?
Oh yeah, do you remember that time when we sat right at the front? And then the stewardesses sat right in front of us, and it just was so awkward because we were just facing each other. So we were just laughing. And we did that when we walked into a hotel once.
That was quite... But that was the wrong hotel, wasn't it, at first?
Yeah, it was the wrong hotel. We just got the giggles. We've been missing about making each other laugh for about 2 hours in a car.
Did you then leave something at that reception and then we had to go back to it after we'd laughed in her face?
I literally think I'd left my bag because I wanted to get out so quickly. Because we just looked like a couple of dicks. We were just laughing because we were nuts, because when we were doing those DJ gigs, we were all
very little
the country,
sleep.
Yeah. And
it's cabin fever in that Picasso, right?
Yeah, I think we just every now and then we just got a bit hysterical. And but I mean, you can't explain that to someone. All we looked like was two people that walked into a hotel and laughed at a receptionist's face.
So I'm gonna. Do you know what? Let's get on to track two, because I want to also talk about some of them journeys as well, because I think that the listeners are going to find them rather amusing. So what was the actual first song that you remember having a emotional impact on you, mate?
Yeah, I remember The Pogues and Kirsten.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Of course you did. Sorry, yeah. Sorry. I've just literally, before you arrived today, there was a documentary on BBC last night about that song, with all the Pogues now talking about it and that. And
did they interview Joe McGowan?
Yeah.
Was he laughing? Yeah. It's insane, isn't it? But it doesn't even go... Yeah. It just goes...
Sorry, that's it. That's it. But the lyrics you just said are beautiful, but it's the bit where when you hear it live and you hear the crowd singing... I could have been someone when McCall hits, and so could anyone. Oh, mate, that's goosebumps right there. Yeah. It really is. Okay, so can you remember how old you was when you first heard that?
No, I can't. It's always been...
Just there?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like Only Fools and Horses.
Yeah.
It's just a part of Christmas.
Yeah.
It's just...
So where was you born?
Croydon.
Okay, I thought you were born in the Narm.
No, my parents moved to Dagenham when I was two. Don't know why.
Yeah.
Business prospects.
It was all happening in Narm. Well, I suppose it was. There was obviously the Fords was there, wasn't it?
Yeah, he didn't get a job there.
No. Well. So, when you was growing up at home... Was there always music on at home? Was that something that was there?
Because my dad's got a really, really good record collection and a lot of sort of 70s and 80s rock, and he's got used to listen to a lot of Bowie, Cheap Trick, he's really proud that he's got an original Appetite for Destruction album.
Okay.
The one with the robot and the naked woman and stuff. Like, he loves that he's got that. Because he was right seeing the composers. You know, I got it. I was one of the first people to get it.
Yeah.
And a lot of the records are from Ireland as well. Because he grew up in Ireland. And they've all got sort of like little Irish the shop stickers on and things like that. But there was always music. Lou Reed.
Doors?
The Doors, yeah.
I remember we were playing The Doors. I was quite surprised when we first met. Just how kind of... much sort of older music that you was really on point with.
Yeah.
Like things like The Doors and Elton John. So when you said it had an emotional impact on your Fairy Tale in New York, an emotional impact
I just thought it was beautiful.
Oh, really?
I just remember thinking, wow, imagine being that in love and just... I don't know how you come up with lyrics like that without... loving someone so much, and I was just sort of looking forward to something like that to happen to me.
Yeah.
And it just is, and also the video with it as well, which I didn't see that at first, but you sort of, once I got into MTV and things.
Yeah. And Matt Dillon.
Yeah, what? Well, is he in it?
He's the copper that arrests Shane.
Oh, of course he is, yeah. Oh, that's, yeah, I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just sort of, I don't know, I just feel like I can relate to down and outs and to, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just people who are a bit skint and...
Yeah.
And that's sort of what it was like in Dagenham. It was just...
And I think that's important to that we talk about this a little bit, because I think a lot of people's perception of celebrity and you know, people that are in TV and films and things like that, is that they've all had privileged upbringings and things like that, and you didn't. Don't get me wrong, your parents obviously did support your, you know, the course. Things that you wanted to do, but you know, you didn't come from a wealthy family, did you, so to speak?
No, we were, I even always remember feeling poorer than everyone else in Dagenham.
Yeah.
You know, next door would get a conservatory and stuff like that. Oh, man. How are they managing that one?
Yeah.
But it's because, you know, my dad was a postman.
Yeah. Which is
what you do if you've got absolutely no qualifications or skills of any kind.
Yeah.
But it was good where I grew up, and it sort of feels a bit like I always think that. So what are you, like 10 years older than me?
At least. Are you being nice? I'm 45, mate.
Oh, okay, all right. So yeah, a couple more.
Yeah.
But it's but I can talk to you about music. I can talk to you about TV and about kids shows and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It just felt like, if you grew up in the 70s, 80s and 90s, there was something that everyone had in common. That there was, you know, it still felt post-war in Dagenham. Like, I used to play in bomb shelters over the field. And the mentality was, you know, my primary school was across the road from Ford's. And you could see the big Ford sign when you look out the window. And the mentality was, you know, keep your head down, do well. Might be a job across the road for you.
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant, yeah.
Cheers.
But I always think that it's the internet that sort of changed stuff. Like, I don't even think it was until sort of 2000 that they thought, should we make new kids shows?
Yeah.
You know, I had Bill and Ben videos and things like that.
Really?
Yeah, I had black and white ones, to be fair.
All right, well, look, we're obviously going to talk more about growing up anyway, so this brings us on nicely to track three.
Yeah.
Which is the song that reminds you of school?
The song that reminds me of school... It depends, really, because... So, like... If I think about primary school... So, I left primary school in 98.
Yeah, we're very different in age.
And so... The thing that makes me think about primary school is Gina G.
Right.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Because that was the. I'm telling you, it kicked off at the school disco.
Right.
Gina G turned up.
Okay.
Be slipping about on trodden in crisps and stuff like that. but then, so that's. I sort of feel like that's a more interesting answer. So I'll let you pick, and then sort of high school is anything by the Stone Roses.
Okay.
Because that's when I sort of discovered the Stone Roses. I had the. Do It Yourself album by the Seahorses, and I was into that before the Stone Roses.
Right.
I remember my teacher at school, because I love John Squire, and he was like, "Well, if you like John Squire, you should probably listen to the Stone Roses."
Yeah.
So I sort of like went backwards, sort of. So yeah, it's probably sort of Fool's Gold by the Stone Roses. I just listen to that all the time.
Yeah.
And probably anything by the Smiths as well at that point.
So how old?
But no one else was listening to
it. I was going
to
say that's you know, for the late 90s to be a 14, 15 year old lad listening to the like that's I don't know. Did you feel a bit older than your time? Do you know what I mean? Like, did you? Because that's. Don't get me wrong. It's great music.
Yeah, I just always. I don't know.
Was you playing guitar by then?
Yeah.
Right.
And I was the only kid in my school that played an instrument. No one else played an instrument, not even a keyboard.
Right.
Or anything. And because everyone had decks.
Yeah.
Technics 1210s, that's what I used to hear. And it just used to be like people mixing Sweet Like Chocolate Boy to Craig David or something.
Didn't appeal?
No, I went into it. And and I don't know really. I don't know why. I think it was just because I'd learned how to play guitar, and I suppose if I hadn't, I would have just gone with whatever my mates were doing at that time.
So, was you? I guess a majority of people will obviously know you for the Inbetweeners and
London Weight.
And obviously your punk outfit, London Waiting. Did you fit in at school? Like, I take it you was doing theatre school as well.
Yeah, I was going to a stage school at the weekends. Was you in
Lamy's by then?
Yeah, I was in Lamy's in 1999.
Yeah.
I used to take my guitar with me up to London, and that's why I'd play guitar while I was waiting to go on stage in between scenes and stuff like that.
So, to have someone at school like that was in the West End in a show and also wasn't into garage and the stuff that, guess the majority of people was. Where did you sit in school? Like, did you get on all right with school? Did you enjoy it?
No, I hated school. And I just remember at the time thinking that this... I remember being at school and just thinking, well, this is it. This is forever.
Yeah.
Like, I could never see it ending.
Yeah.
And I wasn't particularly interested in what teachers had to say. I was more interested in trying to make people laugh. And as a result, I've not really got an education.
Yeah.
Whereas now, I really do want to know everything.
Yeah.
Everything's interesting.
You know, without being...
I was really immature as well. Like, it was,
right.
Like, as you can imagine.
Yeah. Yeah, but like, without blowing smoke up your ass, you're bright. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're definitely a clever fella.
I don't think I'm stupid.
Yeah.
And it probably would have really helped out if I'd applied myself a bit at school.
Yeah.
Was
the creativity encouraged at school? Not the theatre school, just...
I missed loads of school, to do West End shows for 6 months at a time, and then to do TV shows and things like that. And I think the school was really good because they were pretty much like, he's not really doing much here, so he might as well try and pursue something that he enjoys or whatever. So they seemed to be quite supportive in that sense. But it was, I was odd. I was an odd kid.
But you had good mates, right?
Yeah, good mates, yeah. And they were all odd as well, so...
Yeah.
That was sort of what we had in common.
Yeah, you gravitate towards that, though, don't you? You know, if there's some people that are a little bit different that, you see them kind of things in yourself, then it's a natural thing, isn't it, to sort of gravitate towards them and...
Yeah, I suppose.
You know, if they're not... spinning vinyl on their decks to Sweet Like Chocolate. I know.
I've got a real memory of sitting in somebody's bedroom in Dagenham, 3rd Ave, just watching him mix on decks for about 4 hours.
Yeah.
And I'd go, can I have a go? Can I try and have a go at doing that? And then go, no, listen, hold on, wait, I'm going to drop this beat now.
Yeah.
Oh, fucking hell, this is boring. And then I remember putting on MTV, and the music video was, this was about 2000, and the music video to Sunday Morning Call from Oasis, which isn't even the best Oasis song, but I was already well into Oasis by that point. And I started singing along to it, and one kid went, "Don't sing along to that, you dick." I was like, oh, okay, sorry.
What? Why?
I don't know, I didn't bother questioning it.
All right, well, for track 4, the first record that you bought, I presume it may even have been a CD.
It was a CD.
Mm-hmm.
First record I bought was Greatest Hits of the Monkees. I was about 7 or 8.
Wow.
Because the monkeys...
I forgot how much you like the monkeys.
Yeah, because the monkeys were on TV.
Yeah.
When I was growing up, they were on Nickelodeon. It was the last...
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
On at 6:30 before it was the last show of the evening, and I just wanted to be Davy Jones. I just thought he was the coolest person ever. I just thought he was amazing. So I got the greatest hits of the Monkees from, I think it was like the Britannia. When you send off for it. I think my mum and dad were getting a couple of CDs, and there was space for me to get one, and that's what I wanted. Which I think is quite cool.
That's super cool. I had Ian Lee on this podcast a couple of months ago, and he's obsessed with the Monkees.
He loves
and
Monkees,
he's got a label when he releases obscure
like
stuff from there.
And stuff and
he chose for his intro Daydream Believer.
That's a good one,
But I'd never heard the little Davy Jones bit that he says.
Oh, what number is this? 7A.
Yeah. That's it.
Just because I'm short, you know?
Yeah. I've
never heard that.
I've obviously heard that song gazillions of times, but I'd never heard that at the beginning. Obviously, when the piano bit kicked, it's amazing anyway, but I'd never heard that little Davy Jones talky bit at the beginning.
I'd say happy Pleasant Valley Sunday is a great intro.
Yeah.
Just that little guitar riff.
Mary, Mary.
Yeah.
That's a great intro. So can you remember where you bought it? Britannia, it wasn't in a record shop, was it? Yeah. So, and how old was you then?
7, 6.
But, like I said to him as well, when he done this, I find it quite strange that almost 20 years after I was watching it, and it had been out 20 years when I was watching it, and it was great though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was like, I've not gone back and watched it since. I don't know if it holds up.
I've watched a few trying to get my boys.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's like when you loved something when you was a kid. Sometimes, like you say, it doesn't always translate.
Yeah.
They weren't that interested, to be fair.
Yep.
But, yeah, fun. Loads of fun.
I tried to get the kids to watch Breakfast Club. I thought, they're probably
we spoke about this.
Oh, you ain't into that either, are you? Of course you ain't, yeah.
I didn't watch it at the time. I wasn't around at the time. I've watched it. It's like The Goonies as well. I'm just not into it. I didn't watch that when I was a kid. So I remember watching it when I was maybe about 17, 18, because my mates were like, right, you've got to watch The Goonies. I was like, shit.
Yeah. Well, it's not. well, look, before we get on to the song that soundtracked your clubbing years, so...
To dial down the coolness just for a bit, do you want to know my first ever single I bought?
Yeah, of course.
I'm Blue by Eiffel 65.
I'm Blue, Daddy. Is that one?
I just liked the song. I remember the music video and I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
And I bought the cassette for it.
So we met... through a mutual friend, didn't we, Mark Watts?
Yeah.
who has recorded an episode of this. It comes out next year sometime.
Okay.
Managed to keep it to the hour. Thought it might have gone on for about seven.
Well, was he on the phone as well while he was doing it?
Oh, he was at work, yeah. You had a band, London Waiting,
yeah.
That used to rehearse.
Well, you don't have to tell people that. They'll know it all.
Yeah, of course, yeah, yeah. That used to rehearse at Mark's studio, and I approached you and said, come and, do you want to come play some records at the Brush?
Yeah.
Which you did. And then I think we spent, what, maybe 3-4 years after that, on and off, up and down the country.
Yeah, we used to do tours every now and then, didn't we?
Yeah.
Twice a year or so.
Yeah.
It was a real intense...
Yeah.
Sort of like couple of months of going to pretty much every single city in the country, every university at least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was different, you know, I found it really interesting to be, to obviously not being you and being on the outskirts looking in at sort of celebrity.
Yeah.
And like, because, you know, some of them shows, there was a good sort of, you know, 900,000 people at these clubs. There was, right? Obviously not the one in Cardiff.
Did you say 900,000?
No, not bad. 900 or 1,000.
Yeah, no, there was some. There was a good 8 or 9 as well.
Yeah. That was... that was
in Cardiff. Yeah.
Where, like, literally... No one was there apart from someone that was in Big Brother.
Glyn from Big Brother was there.
And it was strange because the DJ booth weren't anywhere away from the dance floor.
Yeah.
So people were just literally just had their sort of elbow on the DJ booth, just going, all right.
It might as well have been a bar.
It might have.
And I was a barman.
But I thought it was interesting just seeing that hysteria and seeing, you know, even if we was just getting something to eat in a services, people just constantly wanting to have photos with you and saying hello and things like that. And, you know, when that first sort of blew up, like the in-betweeners, and I think pretty much once that first series exploded, that was when we was kind of first started doing the DJing. Yeah. So, and I had so many different people DJ at the club over the years, but I'd never seen hysteria like that first one you done.
It was crazy, though,
wasn't it? Really was, wasn't it? And I remember thinking, wow. And then obviously...
It was a shame that that was the best one.
Why is it?
Well, because that was the first one.
Yeah. It was all Daniel.
And we did hundreds more.
We must have done 200 of them.
At least, yeah.
And I remember, we didn't obviously know each other, and... But, you know, you'd done the Toothbrush, and I said, do you want to do some more? I'll try and get you some gigs. And I remember, like, I don't even know where... The first or second one we ever done, it is quite strange. So obviously, I'm a lot older than you, and we was stuck in a car together, driving around. I don't know if you remember this, but I think it was the first or second one. It was in Kent somewhere, and we got lost. And we're literally driving in my Citroen Picasso, and we ended up down this, like, country lane with a dead end. And we got to the end of it, and I think we'd literally only done like one or two gigs and didn't know each other, and we just got to the end of this like this tiny little kind of dirt track, and you just went, oh, this is it, isn't it?
Yeah.
I spent the whole duration of like the last two club nights grooming you just to get you down this dirt track.
Oh, this is it, isn't it? I thought you were too nice.
Oh dear. So, track 5.
Yeah.
The song that soundtracked your clubbing years.
No, this is going to be a bit more difficult because...
Everyone says this.
It's not a fan of nightclubs, just don't...
Everyone says that.
Yeah.
It's weird, isn't it?
That is what will happen if people are into good music.
Yeah.
Soundtrack my years in Clubland. It is probably something like I Predict a Riot.
Right.
By the Kaiser Chiefs.
Okay.
Or something by the Pigeon Detectives. I'll tell you a good one was Sexy in Latin. In fact, that would be my choice. Sexy in Latin by Little Man Tate.
Okay.
I loved that song. And that was a real banger. I used to go to the Opium Lounge in Romford on a Thursday night.
Bit of a face, weren't you?
Well, I wanted to be.
Yeah.
Didn't you? You weren't like the
quite a charismatic outfit. Didn't you have a...
I was experimenting. I was trying to see... I just sort of... I was at an age where I was like, I don't want to follow rules.
Yeah.
I'll do whatever I want. And yeah. I found a sequin scarf of my mum's. And I thought, I'm going to wear that. Right. I'm going to wear that to a nightclub. And I wore that. And some girl just laughed in my face. But not just laughed at my face, pointed at the scarf and laughed in my face. And bearing in mind this is a nightclub.
Yeah.
I could hear her laughing.
Yeah. So, like, what at that age, like, what did you want from clubbing?
I don't even know, because I wasn't... I don't know, I wasn't obsessed with girls or anything.
Yeah.
I tell you what, I liked going... I liked getting pissed.
Yeah.
I really liked drinking. There you go. James Buckley. but also, I liked that there was clubs, and they were very rare. So yeah. It was like Opium Lounge, like Pink Tooth.
Yeah.
And I think there was another one in Romford as well. And I used to drink in the Bitter End as well in Romford. Yeah. And I just liked... It was just a place where loads of people who liked indie bands would go and drink. And I would go every week without fail. I'd go to the Bitter End for a couple and then we'd go on to the Opium Lounge. Mm. And you see all the same people every week. And so it just became a sort of... It just became a cool place where I felt like I'd found other people that liked the same sort of music that I did. And, you know, especially when I was saying about, you know, going to school and stuff.
Yeah.
And nobody was interested in bands or anything like that. So it just, I guess what I got out of it was it just made me feel slightly less weird.
Yeah.
I was still wearing my mum's scarf, sure.
Yeah, of course. Was you one of them... Did you ever have the confidence to go and talk to girls?
No, I don't think so. No, not really. I still don't know what you'd say to them now.
Yeah.
What do they want to hear?
I don't know. Like, I'd never have had the confidence to do that.
My mates from Dagenham do.
Yeah.
Like, they'll just... Like, their method is like... Well, or was, rather. I'm going back 10 years now.
Yeah.
It was just... Let's just throw some shit at the wall. Let's talk to every single girl in this room.
Yeah.
And see what comes up.
Yeah.
Bosh, I couldn't do that.
I'd love to be able to do that. I'd love to have that confidence.
Oh, they did not care about being rejected.
Yeah.
Wasn't just, all right, thanks, bye.
Yeah. I think the first rejection, I'd be crushed. I'd be like, I'm going home.
I'd go, right, well, the world hates me.
Going home and listen to the Smiths. Okay, so for track 6, let's before we get on to that, let's talk a little bit about you know, your career. So how did you deal with literally within 6 months just becoming a household name and a very, very familiar face?
I didn't really spend too much time thinking about it. And also, you know, all four of us, we all saw fame as a byproduct.
Yeah.
It was never the goal or what we wanted. It was just... All four of us were the same. I mean, like, after the first movie came out and it broke box office records and stuff like that, I went and had a baby and didn't do anything for a year.
Yeah.
You know. Smarter people would have maybe have...
But you know what, right? And I've said this to people when, you know, because, you know, people often say, like, yeah, what I've generally sort of said to people that inquire, like, oh, you knew that, you know, guy from In-Betweeners, like, used to go and travel about, like, what's he like? And and it was quite...
You don't answer that honestly, do you?
Sometimes.
You know me better than almost anyone else.
Because people presume that you're Jay at that point.
Yeah.
And obviously you're not.
No. Like,
Jay's an awful person,
yeah,
right?
You wouldn't be able to drive with him up and down the country. No. Jesus. Kicking him out.
But I was always we you know, we'd finish these gigs and, you know, you was young and single and there would be hundreds and hundreds of people that wanted to hang out with you and girls that wanted to talk to you, and there was always unlimited booze to be drunk, and you'd be like, and I'd be like, what do you want to do? And you'd be like, yeah, should we go back to the hotel?
And yeah, like bedtime.
Yeah. And it was like,
gotta drive back in the morning.
He was just like, I don't know, to me, I always remember thinking like, well, I'm really up for going back to the hotel and going to bed because I'm old and obviously I'm married and stuff. But yeah, you didn't seem to want to throw yourself at the kind of things that are available to celebrity, I guess.
Yeah, I suppose not. I don't know. It's just, it was just, I suppose maybe if we were the last people on.
Yeah.
And I was finishing my set.
Yeah.
And it was convenient.
Yeah.
For a girl punter or something.
Yeah.
She was ready to leave the club at that point. Yeah. I don't know, maybe that would seem quite convenient and we'd push the beds together.
Yeah.
But it was
I mean he's making out that if he was leaving the room. So let's explain how this works, right? Right, you're on at one, James, and so we'd normally arrive at the hotel at about 7.
Yeah, I stopped doing the 1 o'clocks.
Yeah.
I had that changed. The latest was that I had to change it to the latest being midnight. If I could get an 11.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Done by 12. In bed by about 12:30.
And that's where I was going with it. Because I'd be like, right, do you want to go and have some dinner or something? Nah. And like, you'd just eat a tube of Pringles in your hotel room. And then you'd be like, how far's the club from here? And I'd be like, it's 5 minutes away. Right, what time am I on? 12. Should we go at 10 to 12?
Yeah.
And like, we would literally turn up at 5 to 12 and the front would be like, hey, all right? He'd be like, all right. Want some bottles of Jack Daniels? It was like, no, can I just have a bottle of water, please? DJ. And then at like 1:05, he'd be like, right, what do you want to do? Oh, we're going to chip off now, mate. And it was like back in bed by 1:30.
It was a bit weird because you'd get like, you'd meet like a promoter or the manager or...
Yeah.
Even the owner of the venue or something, and they'd want to be your mate.
Yeah.
And I go, nah.
Yeah.
No, I'm gonna go back to the hotel now. Why is it a waste of a hotel room?
I do think my fondest memory was I think it was somewhere on that down south where we was DJing, and en route it was Christmas, and we stopped at a services. And you come out with festive lights for my car.
Oh, yeah.
Can you remember?
Yeah,
you put
remember
them all
that.
Around the
loads.
Yeah, yeah, all around the windscreen. So we look like kind of one of them, like pretty decent, like sort of lorries, but it was a Picasso.
That was it. Yeah, they were lorry lights.
Yeah, and we the windscreen of the Picasso. But sometimes was the case where we'd finish a gig and they'd the door staff would escort you to the car, and invariably, most people would turn up in some sort of flash car with a driver, and obviously we'd rock up in my Picasso. And I remember them walking us to the car, and you got in, and obviously I got in the front, and they were like, right, is everything all right, lads? And there was about sort of six of them all sort of standing around the car. There was no one outside the club anyway, so I don't know why they were that overprotective. And I just went, yeah, see you later. No, but prior to that, as we'd walked up to it, they went, where's your car, mate? And I was like, well, it's this one. And they just looked really surprised that he was getting in this shitty car. And then as they sort of tapped at another window, and I was like, all right, yeah, cheers, thanks. And as I turned the key, you'd had Wham queued up on the iPod, the Christmas lights coming out, bam, 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 do 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 do. We just sort of drove off. They must have just thought, what a prick. Oh, dear. All right, track 6. James, the favourite song from an artist from your hometown.
Hometown? Oh, hometown.
Did you think country?
Said country.
I mean, that's quite vast.
I know. I was thinking, well, everyone's
Beatles.
Has he had many people from Venezuela? Essex. Well, I suppose maybe I'd have to go with Blur then.
Good shout.
And probably go with. I mean, there's a lot there to pick. I'd probably go with There's No Other Way.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why's that?
I think that was their first single, wasn't it?
No, She's So High was their first
single. She's So High. That's off. Is that off their first album?
Leisure. Yeah. She's So High.
Because he had a proper bowl cut.
He did, yeah.
But that song used to be on the playlist at Matalan. When I used to work in Matalan at Romford's. Yep. And I used to just wait for that song to come on. And Sultans of Swing.
Yep. Classic.
And I just, I was working in Matalan, and I listening to Blur, and just thinking, I can't wait till I don't have to do this anymore.
Yeah.
And, I suppose it just reminds me of being young and just thinking that it's going to get better than this, because it couldn't get any worse. Like, you know.
But did you have a belief that was going to happen? That you was, and I don't, you know, nothing but respect to people that work in Matalan, but did you think, I want more, and I'm going to get more?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Because for people that live in Essex, you know, in areas like where me and you have been brought up, the kind of encouragement and options for people to excel in creative, fields is few and far between.
Yeah, it's really difficult.
Yeah.
You know, because you can't afford to do it.
Exactly.
Basically. That's why, you know, in the last sort of 10 years or so, if you wanted to be in a band, it was because your dad owns a bank and has bought you a flat in Shoreditch. And you can just hang around there and you don't need to make money, so you can just make music.
Yeah.
I was just sort of... I mean, I was still doing stuff, you know, because I had to make my own money.
Yeah.
Because my mum and dad didn't have any, so... it was Matalan, then I worked at the Home Office for a little while. Then I was fitting kitchens with Ferg.
Yep. We're out with him. Is he out later?
Yeah, he's...
Of course he is.
He'll be there.
So going back to Matalan, there's a story that I'd like...
£3.79 an hour.
That's all right.
Yeah. They got what they paid for.
Yeah. I mean, you got to work with Arnold Schwarzenegger there. Is that right?
What?
Can you remember, do you know where I'm going with this?
No.
Wasn't there a tannoy system?
Oh my God, yeah.
Please retell this story because...
You're going to need to remind me of this because there was a bloke there. How do you remember this?
You told me and it stuck in my mind, and like literally every time I walk past the tannoy system,
wow.
I want to say what he said.
Wow. Oh my God, I can't believe you remember this. I've forgotten about this for years. There was a bloke that we worked with... And I'm not sure, you know, it was a different time, but I'm not sure how put together upstairs.
Okay.
But he said he could do the best Arnold Schwarzenegger impression. He was like, I'll just do it. I'll do the Arnold Schwarzenegger impression. You think it's him. We were like, all right. So we got him to ask people to leave when it was closing time on the tannoy. And he'd built this thing up so much. We're like, right, oh, this is going to be brilliant. People are going to think Arnold Schwarzenegger's here. Like, it's going to be, like, it'll make them all happy. And even though, we were thinking, even though they'll know it's someone doing an impression, but it will just be funny. And so he built it up. It was time to close. Got on the tannoy. And it just went... Please leave the store. It's like a sort of Kermit the Frog, sort of Austrian Kermit the Frog.
Oh,
I can't believe you remember that. I have not thought about that.
Please leave the store. That is in my mind every time I see like a little microphone in a shop.
But most of my time spent at Matalan was trying to amuse myself. Just not like... And also, like, I think about it. Sometimes I think, I was pretty subversive and pretty cool. But sometimes I think, you just...
Was you frustrated, though, as well?
No, I wasn't frustrated. I was 16. So it was like, you know, I was doing what 16-year-olds do. They get a job in retail.
Yeah.
And, but obviously, just because of who I am and because I'm so childish and I need to amuse myself, not for the benefit of anyone else, I would... serve customers just wearing a lady's bra you know, on the outside of my clothes.
Yeah.
Just playing frisbee with the plastic plates and stuff like that. And I remember. I mean, this sums up Matalan, I think, at that time. Was just, I remember the manager said to me, James, you know, it'd be really, and I'd been working there for maybe 2 weeks or something like that. And he's like, we could really do with you staying an extra hour. Would that be all right? And I went, no. Well, I'd rather give you £3.79.
You say that. Yeah.
But that was what was in my head. I was like, stay another hour.
Yeah.
And then what do I get for it? £3.79. No, I'll just... No, I'll go.
Yeah. All right, well, look...
But there wasn't a queue of people trying to take those jobs.
Yeah.
So you sort of got away with murder.
Okay. And so... In Between Us is a massive success, and the films are super successful. You get married, you have children, and then I think the DJing stopped, obviously, when children and that come along. And
the DJing stopped because even when I was about 25, 26, I looked around and felt old.
Yeah.
And I'd play a song that I thought was new.
Yeah.
Because in my head it was new.
Yeah.
When really it was about a decade old, yeah, or something like that. It was something like the Libertines or something,
yeah,
from 2000.
It's weird, isn't it? Like, that does happen. Did you never look to your left and think, what must he be doing? So what have you been up to? You've obviously, Zapped has been happening.
Yeah.
What else?
I've been doing Zapped. I've been doing a show in the States called I Feel Bad for NBC.
Tell me, because this is the stuff that I don't really know too much about. So you've been out in... Because you invited me out to LA to do this, and I thought it'd be a lot easier when you was home just to come off out down the road rather than
me. It was like when I did the Pips podcast.
Yeah.
Like we live 10 minutes away from each other, but we met up in LA to do this podcast. I've been over there quite a lot and working more in Los Angeles, and I like being there. I like the weather. I've got my truck, and that's pretty much all there is to it.
So, what, do you spend a certain amount of time a year out there, or?
This year, I spent more time there than I have here.
Did the family come out with you, or is that...
Are
the kids at school now?
Yeah, of course. They're willing. They've been at school for a couple of years, a pair of them. But, so that makes things difficult, and it means a lot of back and forth from me. Yeah. And, like, back and forth to LA is not, like, popping over to somewhere.
Yeah.
So most of this year, I've just been tired. Like, I just don't know when to go to sleep. And can't go to sleep when I'm supposed to.
Yeah.
And then just... that's the lads, they want the curry. And then just... you know, like last night, I said I'd look at that thing as soon as I got into bed. I just fell asleep. And that's basically been my year. We did Zapped, and then, we got the second series of White Gold that we've finally finished, and then we'll get that out at some point next year, which I like doing.
So you... See, I know nothing about this, and everyone's asking me because they know I know you. What's going on in between us doing this? What's all that about?
We're just doing a little a little celebration thing, really. I mean, I think people will like it. I think people will enjoy seeing the four of us together again.
Yeah.
It's going to be a night of us partying, and Jimmy Carr's hosting. I think it's going to be like a hootenanny.
Oh, right. Oh, it's not like a... I presume it's some sort of, like, hour-long thing of usual sitting there watching clips and...
There's going to be a bit of that, sure.
Yeah.
there's going to be clips and stuff like that, but it's going to be more like a sort of... That sort of Jules Holland hootenanny sort of type party thing. And that's going to be on New Year's Day.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, which is technically the year after the 10th anniversary, which I sort of pointed out.
Yeah.
Just
why do you
it?
Do things like that?
Just missed it there.
Can I just say? It's going to rain on it.
Let me just put my little fly in the oven.
So just aside from White Gold, which I know you've just finished the second series of that.
Yeah.
So Zapped. So when I see you as doing that, aside from Paul K, I think's incredible.
Yeah.
That's on Baby Cow, right? So that's, yeah. And I know that from the day we met, we've spent a lot of time quoting Partridge.
Yeah.
And so...
Two people.
Exactly.
Like you. Quite punky. It was just someone that... Was it a girl?
It was a girl promoter.
That looked like Simon Pegg from one of Steve Coogan's live, stand-up live DVDs.
Bonus bits, wasn't it?
Was it Live and Lewd?
Yeah.
We were going, she looks like a punky Simon Pegg. So just as we left, I just went, I like you. You're quite punky.
She just looked confused.
Which 99% of people won't get.
I thought it was funny. So... Did you get to work with Coogan?
Yeah, yeah. Like, that was like the main reason of doing it.
And how was that?
Yeah, incredible. Absolutely amazing. Like, he's an actual genius.
Yeah.
And does things at a level that I'll never reach, which is sort of depressing. But yeah. he'll do a line and he'll go, I can do it a different way. And he'll do it a different way and it'll be just as funny. Everything he does is perfect and hilarious. And he's got variations and different ways to do everything. Whereas I've just got the one thing, which is sort of like Gervais from The Office.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was great. He's been in a couple of episodes now.
Hello. I've interrupted the podcast again, haven't I? Sorry, it won't take a sec. All I want to say is, the songs that we're talking about in this podcast, if we can't play them, it's just because of the regulations regarding playing licensed music and such. So if you want to hear the songs, just go over to Spotify and search Off the Beat and Track podcast, and you can listen to all the songs because I've put playlists up for each of these. If you can't find it on there, I'll send links on all the social media accompanying each episode. So you've just got to press that one button and you can go through and you can enjoy all the songs that our guest picks. Anyway, I'll shut up, get back to the podcast. See you on the other side. That cough signals...
Change of battery.
So, yeah, we've had to change the battery. So we was just finishing talking about working with the genius that is Steve Coogan.
Yeah, he's just... He's basically everything you'd expect. Just absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
And just... really difficult to watch because he just makes you laugh.
Yeah.
And that's what he does. He's just brilliant. But the thing, the reason why Steve Coogan's such a particular hero of mine is that because he's also just a really good actor as well.
Yeah.
And I think you need that as your sort of foundation to mm-hmm. then try and be funny as well on top of it.
Yeah.
And have you heard him sing as well?
Only Farino.
Farino. Yeah. It's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you can sing.
I can sing, boy.
Yeah. He went home again.
Get the guitar.
But yeah, you can sing, definitely. Yeah. Like, I'm basing this on your Jim Kerr from Simple Minds and your Elton John, but it's always in tune. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I was in West End shows and stuff like that.
Of course. Yeah. And so I remember you saying to me once, is that still the case, that you do at some point want to return?
Oh, I'd love to. Go back and, when I'm sort of 45, something like that, go and play Javert.
Yeah?
Yeah, in Les Miserables. Oh, that'd be a dream. That'd be incredible, yeah. Just for one night.
All right. Okay. Not so great.
I don't want to put too much work into it.
No, of course. So for the last track, mate.
Yeah.
I'm aware that lads are down the curry house, and we've got to make tracks. You haven't prepped this one, so this is going to be difficult. A song that many may not know that you would like them to hear.
Okay. There's a few, to be honest.
Oh, okay.
Pink Squares by a band called I Was a Cub Scout.
Mm-hmm.
I used to love that song, even though there's no real sort of guitar in it. There's a band called the Hedrons. They've got a song called I Need You, and they're sort of like an all-girl punk band.
So these two records that you mentioned, these were
they're
the
not
two
the ones I'm picking.
Okay, but these were two that definitely were on your initial playlist when we was going to go out and DJ.
Yeah.
They fell off the playlist quite quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good point there. I want people to hear them.
Yeah.
They just don't want to listen.
Yeah.
The Metros. They got a song called Talk About It, which is quite good.
Because am I right in saying the singer in the Metros is the singer in Fat White Family, I believe.
I didn't know that. Yeah. I've never even heard of Fat White Family.
Oh, there's some good stuff there. What a good name for a band as well.
But the song I would pick, which I just think... because I'm not a huge Kaiser Chiefs fan.
Okay.
But the Cribs cover Modern Way.
Right.
And it's so good. And I just don't think enough people have heard it.
Yeah.
It's so, so good. I absolutely love that. And it's a brilliant, brilliant cover. And it's much, much better than the Kaiser Chiefs version.
But the original's good, right? And I know it's easy to kind of mock the Kaiser Chiefs because they're you know, very tosses. Poppy indie. But that's one. I'll probably say that's my favourite Kaiser Chiefs song. I think it's really good. And Cribs, right? They're decent. It's not just that cover, is it? I know you've got a lot of time for the Cribs.
I absolutely love the Cribs. I just remember a point in my life. I think it was probably it was probably before the Inbetweeners. It must have been. All I wanted to do was hang out with the Cribs.
Yeah.
I just wanted to meet them, hang out with them, and jump on a table with them, get slashed up and stuff like that.
And if it couldn't have got any cooler, Johnny Marr joins them.
Exactly.
What more do you want? Yeah. Okay, well, mate, thanks so much for doing this.
Pleasure. You're welcome.
It's just quite strange. I've not seen you for a couple of years. And a kind of first hour catching up with each other has been done as a podcast. But it's been nice. We've reminisced about some funny things and I've reminded you of your Matalan experience with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Incredible, yeah. Please leave the store. Like, what?
Oh, dear. Mate, thank you very much.
Cheers, man.
All right, bye. There you have it. I thought you'd enjoy that. It was great to catch up with James. It had been way too long. And it just felt odd to kind of sit there and have an hour-long catch-up and see what we'd all been doing and then press record and then have a more sort of formal podcast-style interview chat. So we just went straight in. So I hope you enjoyed us reminiscing about some of the daft shit we got up to when we was driving up and down the country, playing indie records to students that just wanted to stand and point at James and Shaq Lunge. Thanks ever so much for listening. As I said at the beginning, if you do like this, then please go and have a look in the back catalogue because there's loads more episodes with lots of really cool bands, comedians, broadcasters, radio presenters, etc., etc., etc. So go and have a look. We have a Patreon as well if you want to hear more episodes and we can sell merchandise. So I tell you what, I'm going to shut up and just say it's all at www.offthebeatentrackpodcast.com. That's all you need to know. I will see you next time. Bye-bye. It's Off the Beaten Track Podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network. With me, Stu Whiffin.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.